begin to look back. And that's important. It's important to look back because at the beginning of the year, as we'll be doing sometime next week, we begin to make plans. Some people already have made plans. Some are making plans. We make plans, and many of us have made plans at the beginning of this year. And for some of us, it's been a glorious year because God has met your needs according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. And I want to say that everybody that is under the sound of my voice this morning, you are a testimony because it's been 52 weeks this year. Yes, there's 52 weeks in a year, 52 Sundays. The 52nd Sunday, you are here in church. It means God has kept you, God has preserved you. If it was possible for the enemy, you'll be locked up somewhere in the hospital, some other place. But God has kept you. God has preserved your life, and I am grateful to God for that. Many of us celebrated birthdays this year. I said many of us because some people are still going to celebrate their birthday before the year runs out. But a lot of us have already celebrated birthday this year, so God has preserved us. Many have celebrated anniversaries. Amen. This year, my wife and I, we celebrated our 16th year wedding anniversary. Praise the Lord. Some 2 or 3 weeks ago, the Bamijokos had a ceremony, a celebration for their 20th wedding anniversary. You know, so anniversaries, birthdays, some people have been promoted on the job this year. Some people have gotten new jobs. Some people have had babies. I think we've had quite a few of those this year. We've had weddings this year. Iceland, I saw Iceland earlier on. Iceland got married this year, France. Smile now. I know you are happy. You're a better man now. You know, we've had weddings. We've had so many things that we celebrated with one another. And to God be all the glory and praise for these things. But for some others, it has been quite a disappointment. Because there have been unmet expectations, unrealized goals. And some people at this point are feeling kind of lost. Amen. And some others are like feeling almost like a failure. You know, that what have I really accomplished this year? Every goal I set was not met. Everything I desired, I did not get. You know, but can I tell you the truth this morning? The only reason, well, not the only reason, one of the reasons we feel that way is because we are overwhelmed with what could be that has not been. It is not because nothing good or nothing exciting has happened. It is simply because our focus, our gaze has been on the things that have not happened. But I want you to know that God will surprise you. God will meet every need according to his riches through Christ Jesus in the mighty name of Jesus. But can I tell you something this morning? Wherever you are or whatever your life looks like at this point in time, I want to remind you, this is scripture now, that you are God's masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece. And the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. One of the reasons why sometimes we are deprived of joy is because we compare ourselves with other people. You know, the Bible says they that compare themselves by themselves, they are not wise. You know, and sometimes because you have colleagues at work or you had people you graduated college together that you're still in contact, you still call yourselves, you talk about your lives and all of these things, you know, and you exchange notes and your only conclusion at the end of the day is nothing significant has happened. But you and I both know that that is not true. Many wonderful things has happened in your life. At least you are alive. How about that? Praise the Lord. At least you are alive. And because you are alive, it means there is hope for you. You know, it was President Theodore Roosevelt that said, comparison is the thief of joy. When you compare yourself with people, that is when you lose your joy. But when you look at the whole scheme of the things that God has done in your life, you will understand that you are in a process and you are a work in progress. Amen. I'm a work in progress. You are a work in progress. And I'd like to show us a video this morning. And just watch the video. Are we ready? The sound. Replay.
In my life came crashing down. I felt so all alone.
Praise the Lord. Let me give credit to my daughter, Adeto Milola. Where is she? Okay, she's in the teen class. Hallelujah. It was a much longer video, but she helped me compress it into, I just want it to be 2 minutes, maybe 2.5 minutes maximum. To Milola, thank you very much. You know, I believe it was last week we were having family devotion in my house, and the question came up about sculpting. You know, and as I meditated on that further, is how all of this came together and I got that video that I was going to show you. You see, many of us have taken beatings this year. When you look at that blob of stone, it looked useless. It didn't look significant until the sculptor came and began to bang on it. And every blow on the chisel was bringing the beauty out of the stone, out of it. And for many of us, the things that you have experienced this year has been the sculptor putting the chisel and fashioning you and shaping you. The pain you felt, yes, that pain was real, but that is the sculptor bringing the beauty inside of you to bring it out. For many of us, that final image has not yet appeared, but the sculptor is working on it. The Bible says that God is the potter and we are the clay. And our text today is taken from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." Verse 9, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." Verse 10, say, "For we are what? His workmanship." It says, we are what? His workmanship. We are his workmanship. Do you know every manufacturer, everybody that makes or creates something, they always have sample that they show around? The Bible says you and I, we are the workmanship of God. We are his masterpiece that he has put together. He says, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath ordained before, that we should walk therein. I want you to jump to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24. If you please pull it up for me. Ephesians 4, 24. Say, and that ye put on the new man, which is after Jesus, which is after God, created in righteousness and true holiness. God is saying to you and I this morning that he has done a perfect job concerning you and I in righteousness and in true holiness. And he expects us to put on that nature that he has made of us. He says we are his workmanship. The workmanship is talking about here is not just a beautiful face, a pretty face. It's not just talking about a nice physique. What it's talking about is the man on the inside. It's saying he has done an excellent work even at salvation. That is why in verse 8 it says to us, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that is not of ourselves. It is a gift from God. It is God himself that has fashioned us and has fashioned this new nature inside of us. Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 23. Isaiah 29 and verse 23 says, it says, we are the work of his hands. We are the work of his hands. So when you imagine this sculpture that we saw earlier on, and we saw the work that man was doing, chiseling at the stone, chiseling at the stone, chiseling at the stone, until a pretty face showed up. What I believe the Lord is saying to somebody this morning is that he has a greater and a better plan for your life than where you are right now. Amen. It's taking you to somewhere bigger, somewhere greater, somewhere better. But it is a process. It is a process. Can you imagine that the stone is refusing for the sculptor to chisel on it? What's going to happen? It's going to remain a blob. It's going to remain a blob. I don't know what it is that you're going through at this time, but God has sent me to tell you this morning that do not resist the chastening of the Lord. Do not resist the chastening of the Lord. You know, sometimes many of us, because we prayed for something, and we prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and we did not get an answer, we get mad at God. Can you imagine that? We get mad at the creator of the heavens and the earth. Just thinking about it, you know, you think that, you say, that's crazy. But how many people today are mad at God? As we dig into this morning very quickly, I want to use a man in the Old Testament as our case study. A man by the name Jephthah. I want us to look at his life and look at lessons that you and I can take from his life as God brings beauty out of the ashes of our lives. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Judges. Judges, and we're going to read from chapter 1. Judges 11, from verse 1 rather. The story of Jephthah that we read today is similar to many others in Scripture. You have somebody like Joseph. Joseph saw a dream. God gave him a dream. And in that dream, God showed him great things that he was going to become. But instead of his life moving forward, it seemed like his life was going backwards. You want to talk about David? David was in the backside of the desert, just keeping the sheep, doing great, doing excellently well, writing psalms, writing poems unto the Lord, having great fellowship, until one day he was anointed king. You'll have thought that was a good thing, but being anointed king caused the current king to try to kill him, and he became a fugitive. Praise the Lord. Or Daniel. Daniel was a very bright young man when he was back home, until war came and he became a slave. and he started working in the courtyard of Nebuchadnezzar. Or Paul the Apostle, a well-educated man, a well-read man. In fact, Bible historians tell us that Paul in our days would be like a doctor at law, like a PhD, you know, in the Jewish laws. Amen. Very well-read man until he met Jesus. And after he met Jesus, seemingly, it seemed like his life was going backwards. Praise the Lord. But many of us, we resist change in our lives. We want to remain the same old person or get bigger in the same old things. But the Bible says we must put on, in Ephesians 4:24 that we read, it said we must put on this new man. This new man that is fashioned, created after the true righteousness and the true holiness of God. Let's go to Judges chapter 11. Judges chapter 11, and we'll read from verse 1. So now Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a mighty man of valor, and he was of the son of a harlot. And Gilead begat Jephthah. And Gilead's wife bore him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah, and said unto him, thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman, the son of a harlot. Verse 3, then Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob. And there were gathered vain men to Jephthah and went out with him. The vain men went out with him. Let's look at the story, this few verses that we have read in the time remaining, and see what the Lord will speak to us from there. At the very introduction of Jephthah, the number one thing that was said to us about Jephthah is that Jephthah was a mighty man of valor. Jephthah was a courageous man. Jephthah was a brave man. Jephthah was your man's man. That's number one thing. He was a mighty man of valor. This is the kind of guy you want in your corner. Amen. It's the man that you want to be on your side in the time of trouble. But number two, as we see from the life of Jephthah, in the same verse, verse 1, it says he's a mighty man of valor. And then it goes further to describe it. It says he was the son of an harlot. They labeled him. They put a label on him. How many of us chose which family we wanted to come through? I'm sure many of us, if we had a choice, you probably won't come through the family you came. You know, how about being from the family of the president? You know, and be the first daughter or the first son, or, you know, come through a billionaire family or something of that nature. None of us chooses how we come. And there are many of us that have certain labels on our lives that we have absolutely no control over. There are some of us that have been labeled as certain things that was just, it was just put on you. You had no choice in the matter. You know, some of us have experienced trouble at work because they claim you have an accent. Let me clear this for all of us this morning. Everybody has an accent. Amen? I might have one from Nigeria, which is where I'm originally from. And the people over here, when they get to Nigeria, guess what they say? They say, oh, he has an American accent. Everybody has an accent. You know, so enough of the inferiority complex that people have over an accent. You know, on Christmas Day, I had Christmas with grandmothers. So I had like four grandmothers in my house and some little children. And after we had lunch, we all decided to go to the movies. I recommend you should see the movie. We went to see a movie called Concussion. You saw it or you heard about it? Don't see bootleg. Go and see it in the movies. That's a movie. That's the kind of movie you want to promote. Amen? He was the story of a young Nigerian medical doctor that came to America, became a pathologist, very red, red man, you know, and made a discovery, and they labeled him. They called him quack. They called him all kinds of names. But at the end of the day, God gave him victory. Friends, many of us have handicaps in life. There is hardly anybody in life that does not have one handicap or the other. But what you do with your handicap is what determines how far you are going to go in life. With Jephthah, they called him the son of a harlot, and because of that, they kicked him out of the house. That's the third thing that we read about the life of Jephthah. In verse 2, the Bible says that Gilead's wife bore him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah and said unto him, "You will not inherit our father's house because you are the son of a strange woman." I don't know what handicap you have in life. I don't know what label people have placed on you. But if you are a child of God, may I tell you this morning that the real you, the one, the person you are, is the workmanship of God himself. Created by Christ. Amen? Created by Christ. That is who you really are. So understand who you are. And do not like let others define who you are. Can I tell you a secret this morning? Anybody that can define who you are and you accept it can determine how far you can go in life. If you accept the label, then you must accept the limitations that come with the label. Praise the Lord. So they called him the son of a harlot, which is true. That is his mother. But did he have a choice in who was going to give birth to him? Absolutely not. They rejected him. They kicked him out. I don't know, for some people, it might be because of your immigration status. For some others, it might be some kind of record that you had when you were young and stupid. For some people, it's just whatever. Maybe a child out of wedlock. And people have put a label on you and they have said you cannot do certain things or you don't qualify for certain things. Can I tell you this morning, the one that qualifies is the Almighty God himself. The one that qualifies is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he says to you this morning, you are beautiful. Oh, you are beautiful. You are beautiful. Jealousy drove his brothers, because you see in that verse 2, the reason they were kicking him out is they said, "Thou shalt not inherit in our father's house." They were jealous. They saw him, mighty man of valor. Do you know the people you fear, they fear you more than you fear them? Your enemies are more afraid of you than you know. They are more afraid of you than you know. The reason they are getting at you and trying to suppress you and oppress you and all of these things is because they know if you continue the way you're going, you will surpass them and overtake them. So what do you do? What do you do when people label you and want to suppress you and keep you in the corner? What do you do? You must do what Jephthah did. When they kicked Jephthah out of the house, verse 3, next verse, Judges 11, 3, thank you. Then Jephthah fled from his brethren. He did not stay to fight. You know, sometimes there's an old saying that he that fights to run away lives to fight another day. He said, "We will fight to finish. There's no appeal in the grave." Amen. Pray, let the Lord lead you. When they resisted him so much, they cast him out. Jephthah, the Bible says, he fled from his brethren. Believe me, I want to believe, this is just me now, I want to believe that Jephthah had an inkling about the program of God for his life. Jephthah was not afraid because he knew God was taking him somewhere. The same is true of David. When David saw Saul and his mighty men were telling him, oh, God has given you your enemy today. Kill him. He said, I did not anoint myself king. If God anointed me king and he really wants me to be king, he will take this man out of the way so I can become king. Stop scheming. Stop all those maneuvering and the political whatever, jostling and all of these things. At the end of the day, it dirties your hand. So much dirt in your hand that people will begin to wonder, are you truly a believer? Jephthah left them. But you see, because there was something in him. In Micah chapter 4 verse 9, the Bible says, why are you crying? Is there no king in you? There is a leader in you. The lion of the tribe of Judah resides and dwells inside of you. It is not a matter of location. It is not because you are in America that you are going to make it. If they kick you out of this place because of the seed of God that is inside of you, anywhere you go, you will prosper. Amen? It is not a function of location. People are running from Nigeria to America looking for green pastures. People in Nigeria are thriving in Nigeria and coming to America for vacation. In fact, there are natural-born Americans living in Nigeria. You have to put a gun to their head for them to leave Nigeria. Oh, yeah, because they have realized that this is a land that is flowing with milk and honey. A lot of times I'm going to Nigeria, the aircraft is packed full of white people. I'm like, You saw it when we were going to Nigeria? All white people. And when you're coming back, it's all Nigerians. What we are running from, they are running to. What we are running from, they are running to it. Why? Because they understand there is blessing in that land. We have our problems in Nigeria, that's true. Every land has its problem. America has its problems. Everywhere you go, there are issues. But what you are looking for in Sokoto is inside the pocket of your pants. It's a city in Nigeria. It's just an old adage. You know that what you're looking for. Do you know even in America, as people are relocating from New York to San Antonio, people in San Antonio are relocating to New York. The same thing the guy in New York left New York looking for in San Antonio is what the guy in San Antonio is leaving San Antonio to New York to go look for. All of them looking for the same thing. You have to understand that as a child of God, there is a seed of greatness inside of you. And it's not a function of location. Oh, let me go to this place. Oh, they are doing revival. Let me go to the other place. Come, enough already. Enough already. There is God in you. Jesus is at work in your life. And if you allow him, you don't resist him because of the pain, it's going to make your life very beautiful. It's going to ensure that you accomplish all that he has created you to accomplish in the name of Jesus. If I'm talking to you, I want you to shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're talking about Jephthah. Jephthah, when they kicked him out, he went to Tob. But guess what? He became a leader there. You know why? When the Bible introduced him in verse 1, it said this guy was a mighty man of valor. It's not a mighty man of valor because of his location. It's a mighty man of valor because that is who he is. So when he met these guys, the Bible says, these guys, he said, and there were gathered vain men unto Jephthah. These vain men, you know, like vagabonds, you know, drifters, you know, broke losers. I mean, guys that just didn't have any plan, nothing. And he began to lead them. You know, this guy's story is so similar to David's story. The Bible says when David took off running from Saul, who were the men that were gathered unto him? Broke, those that were in debt, those that the government was looking for. You know, so it might be like the people around you are people that, you know, they can't really help me. God wants you to help them. Amen. He was around people that didn't have much. They didn't have anything. Not to say much. They didn't have anything. The Bible says they were vain men and they went out with him. But you know what? In that season of his life, God was training him. In that season of his life, God was training him. I read some Bible historians were saying that when the Bible says, and they went out with him, what the scripture is really saying is that, you know, they went hunting together, you know, to get food, but he was the one leading the charge. You know, and sometimes they ventured into other territories. They went into the enemy's camp and took their loot. You know, they went to take the stuff from them. And all of this time is engaging in combat, is engaging in war, is learning the art of war. Amen. When you read the rest of the chapter, you will see exactly what God was doing with the life of Jephthah. All this time, God positioned him. Though inconvenient, though it seemed like he was rejected and dejected and all of these things, but it did not allow those things to get to him. Amen? He turned it around. He turned adversity around for a learning curve and a learning experience. The Bible says later on in the chapter that when the Ammonites came to attack the children of Gilead, the elders of the children of Gilead, they gathered together and they sent message to Jephthah. They said, come and be our captain. Praise the Lord. They said, come and be our captain. Can I tell you something this morning? This is a word for somebody here today. Your station in life today is preparation for your place in destiny. Your station in life today is preparation for your place in destiny. Don't resist where you are. Don't fight God. Don't fight God. Don't fight God. Yield yourself to the pruning. Yield yourself to the discipline. Don't run from discipline. Yield yourself to it. Yield yourself to it. The Bible says the elders, they came cap in hand and they were begging Jephthah, be our captain. You know, how many of us remember Don King, the boxing promoter, you know, with funny hairstyle? Record has it, you can go check this on the internet. Record has it that 90% of all the boxers that Don King promoted ended up suing him later. You know why? Because he catches them young when they are broke and hungry. You know, so he offers them peanuts. And for a guy off the street, he says, I'll give you $50,000. He goes crazy. You know, but he's making millions off their fight. So they end up fighting him. Never negotiate in hunger and desperation. Never. Don't do it. When they came to Jephthah, they said, you will be the captain of our army. He said, God forbid bad thing. Captain of an army. He said, go and meet again. God will show you vision. You lack the spirit of discernment. He said, no, I'm not going to be your captain. Then they went and thought, and said, what are we going to do? The Ammonites will destroy us if we don't get somebody to deliver us from these people. He became, that is how he ended up becoming the 10th judge of Israel. He would not negotiate for stupidity. He said, be our captain. He said, captain for what? I'm fighting enough wars in this corner. I already have captainship if he's captain. I may not be your captain, but I'm a captain where I am. He negotiated a good position for himself. And that's how he became a judge in Israel. Friends, where you are today is preparation for your place in destiny. Yield yourself to the pruning. Don't fight. Don't resist. Many people don't have time for God anymore because they have to do this and do this and do this. 3 jobs, 4 jobs, 5 jobs. And no time for God. No time for fellowship. No time for prayer. No time for study of the word. No time for worship. Everything is on the go. Father, Father, Father. And then, radio. I listen to, when I ask people, because I ask people these questions. So I listen to Christian music on radio. That's your fellowship. That's a shame. That's no fellowship. That's listening for pleasure. When you want to worship God, it's your mouth to him, between you and him. Jephthah devoted himself to God the entire time. Even though his family, his own blood rejected him, it did not depress him. You know, some people today say, oh, the reason I am the way I am is because my daddy never showed me love. Or my dad was never there for me. My mom beat me when I was young. If you talk about beating. Thank God my mommy is not here today. She beat nonsense off my head. If I know how to behave today, it's the beating. Up till now, ask my wife. For me, 9 o'clock is the cutoff. Because that's what my mother drilled into my head. 9 p.m., you know, if you lived in Nigeria back in the day when I was there, you know, 9 p.m., NTA News. If I hear that thing and I'm on the street, I begin to sweat and weep. Oh, I'm dead. This thing met me on the road. It must not meet me on the street. It must not meet me on the street. You know, so some people today say, oh, the reason he has inferiority complex is because they beat him when he was young. Shame. Shame. He turned the rejection to a blessing in his life. Friends, I want you to trust God to rise above all those things that people have labeled you with. And you know, sometimes we can be our own worst enemy. Nobody has labeled you. You have just convinced yourself. The Bible says concerning the children of Israel, when they got to Canaan and they saw the giants, they said, oh, the land is indeed flowing with milk and honey. Say, in fact, look at the grapes. Very huge, you know, juicy grapes. He said, but wow, the land, it kills its people. If the land kills its people, why did you see people there? If the land swallows the people, everybody should be dead by the time you get there. Amen? And then he said, the giants, he said, the people were giants. That is true. I said, we were like grasshoppers in their eyes. Did they enter their brain and saw how they saw them? You see, that was a label they put on themselves by themselves. Nobody called them grasshoppers. They concluded that they were grasshoppers. There are many challenges that we face in life, and we tell ourselves that I cannot do this, or I can't do this anymore. Oh, this is too much. This is impossible. How can I get over this? This is what? This is that? This. But with God, all things are possible. I say with God, all things are possible. We are his masterpiece for good works. So why are we masterpieces? For good works. For good works. Ephesians 2:10, it tells us, it says we have been saved. We are his workmanship in Christ Jesus, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Unto good works. Brethren, he has made us the masterpieces that we are, that we may show forth his goodness everywhere we go. But many of us have been cowed into a corner because we have seen and concluded to ourselves that some things are just impossible for us to do. Labels. Friends, watch out for labels. Watch out for things people call you and things you call yourself. And check it in line with the word of God. Is that what God says you are? If it's not, I want you to reject it today. Say, I reject that characterization. That is not me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Jephthah could have sought revenge, but he did not. Instead, he negotiated a good deal for himself. And Joseph, when the brothers came to him, they thought he was going to revenge. He said, no, 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 you meant it for evil. But God was taking me through a process. God was taking me through a process. You know, and every time people talk about destiny helpers, the thought in people's mind is that if I have a destiny helper, it must be a good thing that somebody would do for me. Do you know the people that are treating you bad, God is using them to guide you in the right course for you? At the end of the day, you will thank God for them. Hallelujah. You know, I had a hidden, deep-seated anger problem, and I didn't know it until somebody insulted me like nobody has ever insulted me before. You know, in fact, I was very proud of my humility. I felt I was so humble that I was proud of my humility until that one day. When that thing happened and I had an outburst of anger that was unbelievable to myself, you know, and I was praying. I was not praying about me. I was praying about what the guy did. I'm like, Lord, how could he have done that to me? Seeing I have never done this to anybody before. I have never. I was crying for months. I prayed for about 3 months. And then God spoke. He said it was about you, not about him. He said, I wanted to reveal to you the anger that you need to deal with. And I went to the individual. I went to apologize. He wronged me. He wronged me. I don't have time for stories this morning. He wronged me. But I went to apologize to him. And I thanked him. Until today, I'm grateful for that guy. Because he set the path of the ministry God has committed into my hands in the right order. Friends, those people you call enemies today might be helping you get to where God wants to take you. Amen. The Bible says we have been created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Open with me very quickly as I round up. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. Titus 2 and verse 14. The Bible says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. The whole point of this masterpiece thing is not just for a display. We are saved unto good works. Ephesians 2:10, as we have read. Hebrews 3:16 said, but do not forget to do good. Do not forget to do good, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. God is well pleased when we do good. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15. It said, for this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. You know, many of us, if anybody wrongs us, and we have an opportunity to get even, we will make sure their punishment is times 10. But you have been saved unto good works. You were created unto good works. The Bible says, do not forget to do good and share. What are some of the good works the Lord expects of us? I was sharing with the workers this morning. Think about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He left his throne in heaven. He's God. He's God. He did not mind coming in flesh. He came into the world in the flesh. Doing that alone is degrading. Many of us, highly sophisticated, if they say your lot is to wash the toilet, you say, is there anybody I can pay to do that for me? Because I can afford to do it. But he brought himself to the level of humanity to save you and I. Listen to this. He gave his life for us. They beat him. They scourged him. They spat on him. They nailed him to the cross. He could deliver himself, but he chose not to. You know why? He saw you and I in the future. And having done that, guess what? He said, go ye therefore and preach to all creatures. And that is the one commandment we have all conveniently neglected to obey. We love it when it's prosperity. We love it when it's deliverance. We love it when it's healing. We love it when it's miracle service. But the one thing, he laid his life down and said, now you go and preach to all nations, to all creatures, everywhere. That is the call that he has made. That is the assignment that he has given. That is his will. That is what is pleasing to him. It says to do good is well pleasing to God. I want you to rise to your feet this morning. I'm totally out of time. Rise to your feet. And I want you to bow your head this morning. Believe me, the best is yet to come. You are his masterpiece. When the Lord is done with you, men will look at you and they will see you again. Like in the movie we saw yesterday, I was sharing with you, Dr. Omalu is seen differently today. It's not the same guy that they were all attacking and fighting back then. Because that diagnosis he made is an official diagnosis today. CTE or something like that. That he came up with. It is still real till today. But they fought him. They fought him. Bow your heads, please, this morning. And I want you to repent of not obeying the call to evangelize. The call to evangelize. It said, go ye and preach to all creatures. Go ye and preach. It's a simple commandment he has given us. But we have not obeyed him. Talk to him. Say, Lord, help me. Help me, Jesus. Help me to be obedient to your word. Help me, O God, as your masterpiece, that I may be your mouthpiece in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up your people unto you. Jehovah, I pray in the name of Jesus that in our lives, Lord, you will do what you alone can do. Lord, many have taken beatings this year. But Lord, I know that all of that is part of the process to take us to our destined place. Lord, I pray, may we not lose sight of your work in our lives. May we not lose sight of that salvation that is precious that you have given unto us. That we may live lives true righteousness and true holiness in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer. I give you praise and I give you glory. For in Jesus' precious name I have prayed. Amen.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Said the beating is for a purpose. Amen.